So last week I told you that I had a frozen hot water pipe in my house the weekend of last week. Friday, it started. I also told you that I didn't know what to do. My wife did tell me that, you know, you take a hair dryer and you blow it and you try to unfreeze it. I tried that for a couple of hours, two and a half hours. Got really tired, couldn't do anything. The hot water did not turn on, so I said, you know what? I told Rochelle, called her up and said, you know, we'll wait for the warm weather. As the warm weather comes, it will unthaw and we'll have hot water. Okay, honey, so we'll do something. And we get a call in the afternoon, Rochelle's dad saying, so do you have hot water? Rochelle said, and we said, no. In the evening we got that call. He said, okay, well, tomorrow I'll stop by. And he did stop by. Great handyman, brought his coverall, went into the basement. I'm thinking, you know, he's going to come out just like me and say, yeah, we're going to have to wait for the warm weather. And so I went for my hair appointment, as you know, came back half an hour later. He's still, you know, mom's upstairs. Where is dad? He's in the crawl space. I said, we have a crawl space? So you see, I came to know many things. Through this experience, I came to know many things. The one of the things, I was definitely adequately feeling inadequate. Okay? I was feeling inadequate. I didn't know, okay, 3 years we have owned that house. I didn't even know that there was a crawl space where you can go and there is a... He even showed me a diagram how our pipes look because I didn't go in there yet. So there's this pipe and we have a heating tape around it. All we have to do is connect it with the electricity. Okay. So all of these things I didn't... And I was feeling inadequate. And then I also shared last week with you how there have been two other occasions. I mean, there have been many other occasions, but two of them that I shared with you. One of the time when I'm waiting at Cogan Station Christian Church and I'm waiting for Rochelle's dad to bring her towards me and give her hand in my hand and we get married. And in 10 seconds, you know, you may kiss the bride. By the way, our first kiss was great. I know it's TMI. It's TMI, probably you're thinking, how does that relate to today's message? It doesn't. But anyway, I'm standing there as she's walking towards me. As she's walking towards me, I felt very inadequate. The question that popped in my mind is, am I going to be a good husband? Am I going to hold her and cherish her the way her dad spent his life, in some substantial amount of his life, bringing her up? Will I be able to be a good husband to this wonderful woman that God has created? And then the next time I felt inadequate again was about five months ago, when we found out that we are expecting our first child. Question popped in my mind is, will I be a good father? I felt very inadequate. And I shared with you that all these occasions, and especially with this frozen pipe, I really had felt I didn't know what to do. I mean, I sort of knew what to do, but I really didn't know what to do. I tried 2.5 hours doing it. Nothing happened. And especially when Rachel's dad came and he went downstairs. He found the crawl space, which I did not know existed for 3 years, and we had hot water. And maybe you can, this morning, maybe you're sitting there and you can identify with me. Maybe today you are saying, really, Pastor Ahin, you're right. You know, I feel like I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to be a good wife. I don't know how to be a good father. I don't know how to be a good mother. Pastor Ahin, you're right. I don't know how to be a good son or a daughter or employer or employee. Whatever roles you have in your life, you are saying, I feel pretty inadequate in those roles. I sometimes feel like I don't have it put together. I feel like I don't have my life shaped up. I just feel inadequate at times. And like me, you may not express it. You might go around, trudge through your life, and, you know, you put up a great face. You're like the strong man, the strongest man in your household, in your community maybe even. And you're like, people look up to you and say, I wish I could be like him. You don't even acknowledge it that you feel inadequate at times. I mean, no one goes around saying, I feel inadequate today. Hey, how are you? I feel inadequate. How's your studies going? I feel inadequate. How's your marriage going? Oh, just inadequate. How's your finances doing? Oh, let me tell you, it's just inadequate. No one goes around saying, I feel inadequate or I just inadequate. I mean, we don't even say adequate. How funny that is. Our culture, our society, our world attaches the same kind of connotation to two separate words, two antonyms that is supposed to mean two different things, sort of attaches same kind of meaning. I mean, you don't say adequate because it's like just making barely enough, just adequate. You don't even say adequate. How are you, Ahin? Just adequate. I don't say that. I might say just peachy, which means more negative, but I will never say just adequate. I don't say inadequate. Neither do you and I say adequate. But you know what? If you in your life, you're sitting there in the chair, or maybe you're listening to the recorded copies of this message, and you're saying, I can identify with you. I feel you. I really feel you, man. What you're saying, I really, really understand. Yes, I have had those moments. I still have. I don't know. I just feel like I am not put together. My life is not put together. My life is not shaped up. And I just feel inadequate. I do have good news for you and I. I do have good news. You and I don't have to go around feeling inadequate, out of shape, not put together. In the roles that you have, maybe being a husband, maybe being a wife, a mother, a father, son, daughter, whoever you are, a teenager, a young adult, newlywed, or you have been married for some time, or maybe your children have left and all you have left now in your household is you and your wife, you and your husband. Wherever you are in your life, you and I don't have to go around feeling inadequate because the God of the Bible, the God of this universe, the God who created you and me, the God who is genuinely interested in your life, in my life, He wants you and I to live adequately. He wants to change your understanding about the word adequate. He wants you to know that adequate living is not just barely managing. Adequate living is being sufficient, being put together, being shaped up for what He has called you to be and called you to do. I don't know what you're struggling with. But let me assure you, the God of this universe, God who created us, He is genuinely interested in your life. I might sometime pretend that I'm interested in your life. I mean, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be a professional Christian, right? I'm supposed to have everything put together perfect. But I might sometime pretend like I'm interested. I'm a human. But God, He is genuinely interested. Your friends, your family, your neighbor, your boss might pretend they are interested in your life. But God, He does not pretend. He is genuinely interested in your life. And God has good news for you and I. So this morning, if you brought your Bible, let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We did look at this verse last week, but we're going to take a look at it again this week. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And if you didn't bring your Bible, don't feel bad. You can look up to the screen and we'll take a look at the verse on the screen. We're going to read from a version called a New International Version, very close to my heart, because I'm international. I come from India. So New International Version, very close to my heart. But we're going to take a look at it. And it says, in New International Version, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're going to break it down a little bit more, and we're going to take a look at something that is very close to your heart, and now it is very close to my heart. New American Standard Bible. Okay? How many are for New American Standard Bible? I know one person who's going to raise their hand. He's at the back. But anyway, let's take a look at NASB, New American Standard Bible, and it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And watch this word. So that the man of God may be, what?
Adequate.
Can I hear a little louder? So that the man of God may be?
Adequate,
equipped for every good work. Now we're going to dive into a more modern day version. It kind of talks the way you and I, it kind of sounds the way you and I talk, the way you and I interact. Okay? And it says in the Message version, it says every part of Scripture, every part, not just Genesis or not just Revelation, not just Matthew or maybe the Pauline letters, Paul's letters that he wrote to different churches and different people, but every part of Scripture is God breathed and useful. Watch that word, useful. Every part of the Scripture is not only God-inspired, not only that God made it happen, God revealed it, so we have the Bible, but it is useful. Useful for your and my daily life. God's Word is not just something that you read. God's Word is something that you apply. You and I need to apply the Word of God. So it says every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. It just doesn't apply to one facet of your life and it doesn't apply to another facet of life. If it applies for you to remain in purity until you are married, it also applies to finances. If it applies to your marriage, it also applies to child rearing. So, God's Word is God-breathed and useful one way or another. Whatever facet of your life, whatever aspect of your life, it is applicable. You can apply the Word of God, whatever you are going through. Okay? And it says, then it says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together. Through the Bible, through the Scripture, through God-inspired, what God inspired to 40 different men for over 4,000 years, and they wrote 66 books. They wrote 66 different accounts of what God did, what God will do, and what God can do. Past, present, and future, compiling them together for your and my benefit, so our life is put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. Isn't that amazing? Okay? Now today's message, we were calling it, you know, adequate living, or living adequately, truthful living. Up front, I want to say I'm not teaching this message. This teaching is not geared towards how you can speak truth. This is not a movie, Liar, Liar. Okay? You are not going to become over, I'm not asking you to speak truth. You should do that regardless whether you are hearing from the Bible or not. Many, I know a lot of truthful people who speak the truth, nothing but the truth and only the truth, may not have a personal relationship with Christ. Another disclaimer, I want to be very clear and want to say this up front. Okay? I'm not handing out any secret formula that puts your life back together. I'm not handing out a plus B equals, A squared plus B squared, whatever the formula is. I was never good at algebra anyway. So I'm not handing out a secret formula that puts your life together or shapes you up. I do not even pretend to have it all together in my life. Okay? Like I said earlier, I'm a pastor, so I'm supposed to be a professional Christian. Okay? I should have my life all perfect, put together. But let me tell you, you will be surprised to know how much you and I have in common. Like if I start right now and if you start right now, we can just go down through our list and we can just across everything, and you will find a lot of things that are common with you and my life. But this morning, I'm going to share with you, this morning I'm going to tell you something that works every time in my life, whenever I feel I am inadequate. Whenever I feel that I don't know what to do in this situation, whether it's in the realm of the spiritual or it's in the realm of the physical. I mean, some of the things are just plain that simple. So anyway, if you came to me and you said, "Pastor Rahim, I'm having some issues in my marriage. What should I do?" This is what I'll tell you. I'll tell you, I'll show you the principles of having a good marriage described, prescribed in the Bible. I'll send you there. If you came to me and said, "Pastor Rahim, I'm having very hard time managing my finances. I don't know what to do. What should I do?" I'll send you here. I'll send you to the Bible. Show you the principles of managing your money, how God wants you to manage your money. If you came to me and said, "I'm really having a hard time managing my emotion, my relationships," that I will again and again and again send you to the Bible, because the Bible has all the answers to your life's questions. Try it out. You'll be surprised. And if you really want to say amen, just say it loudly, okay? Do you feel like saying amen? Amen. All right. So this morning, I want you to know that the God of the Bible of universe, who has created you and me, is genuinely interested in our lives. And He does not want you to live inadequately. He does not want you to live out of shape, out of not being put together your life. Because we read earlier in the message version of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. So last week we started this series and we called it Living Adequately. And this week we are in the second part, part two of this series of teachings that we'll be going through. And we are going to take a look at how we can live adequately by living truthfully, by living a truthful living. Let me qualify that. I'm not talking about speaking the truth. Only the truth and nothing but the truth. But I'm saying a truthful lifestyle, a life that is filled with the truth of the gospel, of the Bible, of God's Word. If you want your life to be put together and shaped up for the many roles and tasks that you as a person have and you need to fulfill, you must accept and practice the truth about God and yourself. You want to live adequately, you want to live sufficiently, you want your life to be put together, shaped up for the tasks that God has for you in your life, you need to know, and it just not know, but not acknowledge, but you need to accept and practice God's truth. In the verse that we read earlier, it says every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth. One of the things that God's Word does, one of the things that the Bible does, is that when we come to the Bible looking for answers, looking for how we, going back to my experience, how will I be a good husband? When we come to the Bible teaches us, shows us how to be a good husband. Will I be a good father? The Bible teaches us, shows us the truth about being a good father. It talks about how God is like our husband and how He treats us. It talks about how God is our father and how He treats us. And that's the way He wants us to treat our wife. That's the way He wants us to treat our children. That's the way He wants us to treat our neighbors, our people around us in our community, in our lives. The truth that God wants you and I to understand, the truth that God wants to show us from His expressed will, I call this His expressed will, His Word, His will, is that He wants you and I to live an adequate life. He wants you to live an adequate life, a sufficient life, a life that is put together, a life that is shaped up, a life free of addiction, a life free of worries, a life free of shame and despair, a life full of joy, a life full of that's full of meaningful relationships, a life of gratitude. He can continue to add on. Because He wants you to live an adequate life. He wants to make you adequate for the many tasks, for the good works, everything that He has purposed for you, everything that is part of His will. And I'm so excited because I don't serve a God of I don't serve someone, I don't follow someone who's just interested in my time, who's just interested in my money and what can I give, who's not interested in what, you know, my good deeds and bad deeds. But He is more than anything, He's interested in my life. He's interested in my soul. He's interested in my life being put together and shaped up. But there are three reasons, and this morning I want you to understand very clearly. There are three reasons why you and I might continue to have an inadequate life. We might be living inadequately, we might be feeling inadequately as and your life may not be put together, you may not be shaped up. There are three reasons why. Number one, I want to give you this. It wouldn't be on the screen. And I want you to just put this in your mind. I really want you to hear this. Really want you to assimilate this morning. Number one is you might not know the truth. Number one is you might not know the truth. If this is the first time you're hearing that God is genuinely interested in your life, He wants to have a personal relationship with you, He is so interested in your life that He wants to put your life together, He wants to shape you up for the tasks that He has for you, then you did not know the truth. Okay? And actually, Jesus dealt with this kind of group. You are not new. You are not something that's just happening now. It has happened ages past. Jesus had to deal with this group. There was this thousands of people that gathered together to hear Jesus speak. And when Jesus looked at them and He said, this is what He said, this is what the Bible says, He said that when He looked at them, He had compassion because they were like sheep without shepherd. People who did not know the truth. Okay, the other reason is if you did not know, you know, the first reason is you did not know the truth. The second reason is that you know the truth, but you don't acknowledge the truth. You have heard before that God, Jesus Christ, He is genuinely interested in your life, and He wants to put your life together, He wants to put you in shape, but you just don't acknowledge that. You just go around doing your stuff and you have this preconceived idea about your life and you think that, you know, I do this itty-bitty good things here and there and that's going to take me to heaven. You think, you know, I'm a good person. I don't steal. I mean, I haven't stolen millions of dollars. I might have stolen 10 bucks from my parents. You know, you think, you know, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. You just don't acknowledge the truth that God is genuinely interested in your life and He wants to put together, shape up your life for the task that He has. Jesus dealt with this kind of people too. The Pharisees, a religious group of people, His time. They knew, they saw all the signs that Jesus fulfilled as being the Messiah, the Lord and the Savior who was going to save them, but they did not acknowledge Him. And the number three, the third reason is that you know the truth, you acknowledge it, you know it's to be the truth, but you don't accept it. We all have preconceived ideas about who God is. We all have preconceived ideas about the truths about Him. Okay. If we took out a list, if I took out my list about who God is and what I think about God, we might compare them. And your list might have something different. You're going to say, no. What are you talking, Pastor? That's not who God is. That doesn't go with my paradigm about what I believe about the truth about God. Here's an example. You know, this is my belief, all right? I believe that God loves us so much. He loves us so much that He will not let anything bad happen to us. All right? But I ended up in an accident 2 Sundays ago. How does that connect? You might have that idea that God is so genuinely interested. If God is so genuinely interested in my life, then nothing bad is going to happen. We all have preconceived ideas about God. And when we face the truth, we don't want to accept it. Jesus encountered such group of people. We are nothing new. The Israelites, the Jews as a nation, they knew the truth. They even acknowledged at times, but they did not accept Jesus as the Messiah, the Lord and the Savior that they have been waiting. They're still waiting for that. So there are three reasons why you may not be, why you can go away from living an adequate life. You can go away, or you may not experience, or you may not have, you may not be living adequately, you may not have your life put together, shaped up. Number one, you do not know the truth. Now, if you're in that category of people, you have much hope. Because all you have to do is acknowledge the truth and accept the truth. The other reason is you do not acknowledge the truth. There is a little problem here. You know the truth. You know the truth that God loves you and God wants you to have an adequate, a sufficient your life. He wants to put your life together. He's genuinely interested in your life. You know all of that, but you just don't want to acknowledge that. You just like that ad they put out in Britain, in UK, on some of the buses an atheist group put out. He said, probably there is no God. So get on with your life and enjoy. You can see his work, his handiwork all around you, and maybe even in during some troubles and trials and suffering when it has come, you have secretly wished, God, just help me. But you just don't want to acknowledge him. You don't want to acknowledge the truth about him. So there is a little problem there for you. You have to move out of that denial zone and accept the truth about God. So you can live a life put together, shaped up life. But I have really, really bad news this morning if you're in the third group, in the third reason. You know the truth, you acknowledge the truth, but you have put your feet down. You are like those olden days karate movie, martial art movie called Iron Horse Stunts. You are standing there, nothing can topple you. You're like, I am going to accept it. You know, you can, you know, I know it, I acknowledge it at times, but I'm not just going to accept you. But the Bible is very clear about how you and I can live an adequate life, a life put together and shaped up. Very clear. And it is, and God Himself spoke this. When Jesus in John chapter 14 verse 6 says, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one, if you have a habit of underlining, highlighting anything, I want you to highlight this in your Bible. I am the way and the truth and the life, and then highlight no one. There is no one in this universe, no one in this world, in our world, can come to the Father except through me. So move out of your denial zone. Move out. If you did not know the truth, here is the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Accept the truth. But as you know, already know, that knowing the truth isn't enough. Even acknowledging the truth isn't enough. You must accept the truth. And that is why in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says to the Jews who proclaimed, who outspokenly told him, he said, we believe in you. We want to follow you. We believe in you. We want to follow in you. And this is what Jesus tells them. He says, you believe in me? You want to follow me? He says, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Let me read that again. It says, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience, you know, that word then. Very pivotal. Whenever then is used, meaning there is something before you must do for you to be able to experience, for you to experience whatever comes next. It says, then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Then you will experience the truth. When? If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. You want to have an adequate life. You want your life put together, shaped up for the task that God has for you. You need to live out what Jesus tells you to live out in this book called the Bible. You and I need to stick it out. You and I need to follow Christ with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And then we will experience for ourselves the truth. And the truth will free us. The truth will free us from going about trudging through our lives, feeling inadequate, not knowing how to be a good husband, not knowing how to be a good wife, not knowing how to be a good father, a good mother, a son, a daughter, employer, employee, whatever the role that you have in your life. The truth will set us free. Jesus Christ, the truth himself, will set us free in living an adequate life. We must live adequately by living truthfully. I want to cast a vision. I want to imagine how your personal life would look like if you lived out what Jesus has told us. If you stuck with the teaching of Jesus, if you stuck with the salvation that Jesus has offered, if you stuck with the teaching that Jesus has offered, how your personal life would look like. Then I want you to imagine how your homes would look like. Then I want you to imagine how your community, dotted with such homes where individuals following Christ, living a truthful life, a Jesus-filled, a God's Word-filled life, living adequately, living sufficiently, living a life that is put together, shaped up for the tasks that God has given you and me. Imagine living adequately as a husband, wife, father, mother, son, daughter, a teenager, a young adult, newlyweds, have been married for some time. Maybe your children have just moved out, and it's just you and her again, you and him again. Imagine, wouldn't you like such a life? Wouldn't you and I like such a home, a community? Wouldn't we love to see teenagers not trying to find meaning in drugs and premarital sex and all the things that wouldn't we like to see teenagers having a great life, an adequate life, a life full of truth, full of Christ? Wouldn't you like to see the young adults, instead of in the dating scene, just going from one relation to another relation, one relation to another relation, trying to find meaning in their life? Wouldn't you love to see newlyweds stay married for the rest of their lives with each other? Wouldn't you and I like to see the married couples, that their marriage just goes into a different, just different level? Because we shaped up our lives and we offered them this adequate living through truthful living in Christ, in God, that puts their life together and shapes them up for the tasks that God has for them. That's the kind of church I want to pastor. That's the kind of people I want to stand up in front and teach from the Word of God and lead. That's the kind of person I personally want to be. That's the kind of person I want my home to be. That's the kind of community I envision. And not because that my life has been that I'm perfect, because I'm a work in progress, because my life is being put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for me. Don't go through your life just trudging along, feeling inadequate, feeling out of shape, not put together. Take a step today. Live it for Christ. Live it truthfully. And make sure people in your home, people in your community, your neighbors are given a chance at adequate living. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, our Creator, Father, You created the universe. You are our Creator God, but You are so awesome. You are ginormous. Yet, You are so genuinely interested in our lives. You care about us so much. You want our lives to be put together, shaped up, that You died on the cross, showing us the truth about You, that You are genuinely interested in us, showing us the truth about us, that we need You to live an adequate life. And this morning, Lord, I pray for the people in this room that we will take a stand, that we will not trudge along, just humdrum, go through the humdrum of this life. We'll take a stand to live adequately, live sufficiently, live as our lives are put together, shaped up. Our marriages put together, our individual lives put together, our marriages put together, our home is put together, our kids, our finances, our everything in our life is just coming together, put together and shaped up for the many tasks that You have for us. And I pray for the community, Lord God, that as we go out into the community, the people from this church, Agape Community Church, as Christians, as people, those who call ourselves followers of Christ, will go out there and make a difference in someone's life in our community. Thank You for making a difference in our lives. Thank You for giving us a chance in adequate living, by living in You, by living truthfully. And I pray, Lord God, that the people in this church will live adequately. The people in the community, that those who come in contact with the people in this church, that they will live adequately. And this will just continue multiplying. And we thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.